Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Tonight, we were going to be chatting with Sabrina and Jan, but Sabrina had an emergency and she wasn't able to be with us tonight. So I will still have Jan on, so we'll be okay. Dr. Jan Spivey Gilchrist is a retired art teacher who is also an award-winning author and illustrator. She has illustrated The Great Migration, Journey to the North, which won the Coretta Scott King Award. She's also an NAACP Image Award nominee, and in 1999, she became a nominee into the International Literary Hall of Fame for Writers of African Descent. That's a really nice honor. Her most recent book will be coming out in June is entitled A Voice as Soft as a Honeybee's Flutter. Isn't that cool? She loves traveling around the country and speaking to children. So she will be on shortly. And we will be speaking with her. But right now, I'm going to take a break, and we're coming back, and we will talk to Dr. Gilchrist. So I will be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Autism affects 1 in 68 children, sweeping all racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups. Autism is a lifelong brain disorder that leads to untold challenges to the physical, financial, and social well-being of people with autism and their families. Resources are stretched thin. The Autism Alliance of Michigan, a collective voice for families across the entire state, uses resources to help families battle challenges right here, right now. If you or anyone you know needs help navigating the autism journey, contact the Autism Alliance of Michigan today, 877-463-AAOM, or visit them online at aaomi.org.
Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning. Butch's Bodacious Seasoning, all-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, President and CEO of Butch's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. And my guest is on, and we will be talking to her soon. I just want to remind my listeners that March is Autism Month. So be kind to people that have disabilities, because in this life, we never know what's around the corner for us. So don't be so high and mighty. Okay, let's talk to our guest, Ms. Jan. Dr. Jan Spivey Gilchrist.
Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm just fine. Thank you for
okay,
this.
Okay, that's good. I'm sorry?
No, it sounds very exciting. I said thank you for this.
Okay, well, you're a very exciting person, and you've done quite a bit in your lifetime. This makes you look like you should be in your 80s or 90s. You packed a lot of life into your life, okay?
Well, thank you. I'll just take them one day at a time.
Your first children's book, Children of Long Ago, is one that you illustrated, and it won the People's Choice Award. How did you feel about that?
It was very exciting because it was my first book. I was very excited about it.
So you illustrated a book before you authored one yourself?
Well, actually, I'm an illustrator. I was a fine artist only for a long time, a portrait artist and fine artist. My first book was to illustrate Children of Long Ago by Leslie Jones Little after meeting Eloise Greenfield at an autographing in Chicago in 1986. Leslie Jones Little is her mother, the author of Children of Long Ago. It's Eloise Greenfield's mother. Of course, Eloise Greenfield was renowned then. I went to an autographing in Chicago with Nora Brooks Lakely, the daughter of Gwendolyn Brooks. And we met Eloise Greenfield there, and I gave her a present, a print of a little girl that I had done. And she said, oh, I love your work, and my mother would have loved it. And she told me about the book that was going to be published by her mother. And I went to New York to meet the editor, and then I was given that book to illustrate.
Oh.
And that was my beginning. That was 92 books ago.
92 books ago. These are some that you've authored and some that you've illustrated.
And I actually only authored 5 books. I'm really an illustrator, so
that's your passion.
Absolutely. I've been an artist since I could stand up, my mother said. So I've been drawing and painting since I was a baby.
That's interesting. It sounds like it was a God-given gift.
That's what my daddy said.
Okay. I'm reading here that you have an award coming up in November. Is that right?
I don't know about it.
Okay. They got it wrong. Okay. That's okay. We're not always right all the time. But right here, I want to bring in someone that you know, and her name is Joyce Dinkins. Hi, Joyce.
Yes. Hi, Virginia. Thank you so much for allowing me to join you.
Yeah. Joyce is my...
Hi, Dan.
My editor and my friend and my sister, adopted.
Yes.
God-given sister.
In that order.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to have a friend and a sister.
Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah. And
how did you
editor,
two meet?
Now, Joyce can tell you that. She told me that.
That's interesting. I think probably around the time that Jan illustrated the Eloise Greenfield books, began illustrating so many of those with that renowned author. My family member shared with me her work, for our children, we were looking for works that where we could see our kids' imagery, pictures of diversity, pictures
right.
particularly of African American children, and that was a rarity for us to be able to find those. And Jan's beautiful illustrations in Eloise Greenfield's books were really just a gift to us. And I contacted Jan. Was working at a publisher doing Sunday school curriculum, and I contacted Jan in hopes that I would be able to work with her and as a fine artist illustrated for that curriculum. And so we spoke over the phone more than 30 years ago. However, that project did not work out with her. She was very busy with the Greenfield books and other works. And we were at the Calvin Festival of Faith and Writing in Michigan decades later, and I was attending a workshop by one of another celebrated illustrator, Ashley Bryan, and Jan was there, and we met, and the rest is history. Now we're working together, and really, after 30 years, we are friends. I have great respect for her history, her experiences, working with children, loving children, and I love them too. Jan has a special place in her heart for all children, and certainly her works reflect that. So that's a little bit about how we met and how we're working together.
Okay, that sounds like a friendship made in heaven. That's what it sounds like.
Well, I would agree.
Okay. Just a little bit, tell us, Dr. Gilchrist, tell us about your art school when you were a teacher in school. How'd that work out for you?
Well, actually, I began, my first job was as a art teacher and then a kindergarten teacher. So I was art junior high art teacher, and I also taught the kindergarten, which worked fine because children relate to art. And even though I didn't have the credential for a kindergarten teacher, the principal just loved me. I was blessed. She just loved me. That's how I worked with junior high. So when the teacher went out on maternity leave, I was given the kindergarten. I was terrified. But what, this is not my field. But I worked with them with the, as any mother would work with teaching their child how to read. So even though I didn't have those credentials, I actually went back later and got them and became a reading specialist, which I worked in Massachusetts. But I went and picked up those skills later. But at the time, I was just playing it by ear and getting a lot of hugs and a lot of kisses.
Oh, yeah. All from the little ones.
So that made all of it easy. And it was a joy to get up in the morning and know I was going to go and get paid for playing with babies.
Well, I was a teacher for a long time, but my passion was special ed. I love special needs kids. Oh, gosh. Yes, I do. But we're talking about you, and you love the babies. So that's kind
of
cool.
All of them.
When you go to speak with the young ones, though, I'm supposing that they're little, they would have short attention spans. So you talk to students that are old, much older, right?
Actually, I speak to all of them from pre-K, because I've also worked with pre-K, pre-K through college. I was a professor for 16 years at National Lewis University. I find that I had just as much, the attention span wasn't much different for any, from pre-K all the way through. And I remember one of my college students said,
That's kind of funny. I don't want to cut you off, but it just made me, reminded me of something someone said, that in church, it's the same way. The attention span is about the same.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to say yes or no.
And I don't think that, or at least my students weren't insulted by it. I remember one student, she was about 40, actually, in a night class I taught some years ago. She said, you know, you talk to us like you're talking to little children. And so this other this other student stood up and said, yeah, we like that. And so I don't think they mind it. I don't know how to be anybody but Jan. That's who I am. So I would tell my students, I don't know how to be anybody else. I was a big sister growing up, and that's how I talked to my little sisters and brothers. Being a big sister, you have this honor place among them. And so when you're a kid, you want to hold that place. So when you get asked the question, you don't actually say you don't know. You learn that later. You learn later to say, I don't know. So growing up, I would always seek out the information so that I can look good. So I
would go and
do research. And because I always wanted them to be happy, and I wanted to be, you know, the big sister, the person that they looked up to. And I don't think I'm much different.
Well, it's real interesting. One of my sons is a elementary school principal, and I have no idea how he does that. But he loves children as well. And he's very good at his job. So I'm going to never mind. I'm not going to say that.
But I think you hit the core. I used to, when I would lecture on lecturing tours, people would say they didn't know how to do something I would say, love is the basis. Because if you love them and you want them to have it, you're going to do whatever it takes to give it to them. So if I don't know something, then I'm going to seek out that information. I'm going to do everything I can to find it out and bring it back to them. So I think the fact that love is the answer, that is the absolute answer. One of the things I was talking about, a mother, I work with mothers who are like in prison. And they only see their babies a certain amount of time. And they're always afraid. They're always looking at me like I'm somebody special. And I would tell them, no, we're the same. We both want the child to have the information. And we love them and we want them to have it. And that's the main tool.
Yeah, that's interesting. You work with mothers who are in prison. That sounds really, really interesting.
Oh, it was really interesting. I was once given a grant. It wasn't given to me. It was actually given to the mothers. These were homeless mothers who they had to meet with them, and they get the owners gave all this money so the children could have my books. They were going to buy my books. So I asked them if they could give them, you know, use little tickets or something, but not let me give them the books. Allow the mothers to buy the books. You know, give that grant to the mother, and then the mother would hold the child's hand and take them through, and the child would pick the book. That way, the book was coming from the mother.
And the
kid was just so excited because their mother was buying the books. And then I would show them how to put the child on their lap and read to them. But all of that is loving so that the mother can give them. And they feel more secure. Feel the mother feels secure so the child feels safe. So the same thing. And, of course, a book, you know, now you're giving them a book, so now you're making that really special.
That's really interesting. I had thought recently about going into a juvenile facility and, you know, teaching the students there how to read and write. I think that would be an awesome job to me, because our kids aren't being educated. They are not being educated. And that's why we have that school to prison pipeline. So I don't want to talk about that. It's very depressing. And this is not a depressing show. So my listeners, if you want to join our conversation, All you have to do is press the 1, and you can ask your question or you can make a comment. But right now, we're going to take another break.
Magnify His name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709 or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify His name.
57 South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
We'll be right back after these messages.
This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, and we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. This is Jenny White, and we are chatting with Jan and Joyce. And we are talking about literary issues and good stuff like that. So, Dr. Gilchrist, I'm interested in your series, Why the Be Still and Know series.
Well, Joyce, did you want to start, I mean, like, with that, how it began?
You know, I sure can, and I want to say, connect with the issue, the conversation about Jan's work with mothers who are incarcerated, and Virginia, your mention of that being depressing, and it is. But I, in talking about this Be Still and Know series, there are opportunities to talk about, to say something positive, very positive about what Jan has developed here in this series. The imagery that those mothers would open up Jan's books to their children and hold them on their laps and love them and share those images. The images of African-American children and all children help children to learn. And so I know that there is it's a complex conversation to talk about why a child would grow up and become a mother and be imprisoned. It's not something that we're going to be able to cover in a short period of time, but I would say that the images that Jan purposely creates are to celebrate children, to show them love, to show them where they fit in the world, that there is a place for them, and that they matter. So, you know, this is her upbringing. Children mattered in Jan's household. He was taught from a very young age that children are precious, they are gifts, and it's out of the experiences that she had growing up taking care of her brothers and sisters that these stories arise. And the Be Still and Know series, it's three books, and each one really looks at and portrays the that an individual child's life matters, that it is beautiful, and that it is really divine. So the series is Jan's effort to reflect the stories from her her life and her upbringing, and the visuals have a great impact on children, and so she
right.
very carefully put together these images that will draw children into these stories that show that they matter, and help them learn to not only to read and have literacy, but to have purpose in their lives, and understand that they matter and that they have value. And so Jan has been wanting to do these books, and you said it was a match made in heaven. I'll just say that I believe that God's put the two of us together so that Jan could express her heart of love for children and tell some stories that would engage children in the way I've expressed, and encourage them and help them. So Jan probably could speak as well about that, but these are stories that she's carried for a number of years, and not all publishers necessarily. We are a Christian publisher, and not all publishers necessarily will deal with Christian subjects. Certainly, all of Jan's books are great, but this series is a series that has a biblical basis. They're based with inspirations from the Psalms, and I was going to mention that.
That sounds mm-hmm. like a verse, a Bible verse. Be still and know.
Yes.
That I am
fact,
God. Yes.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, and I can. The Psalms 40. I can tell you, how that happened. Tommy Ford, he was an actor who died back in.
He played in Martin, right?
Yeah. Well, he was like a godson. He was. I call him. I have a son, and I call him my big baby son. Tommy would. We traveled together. We did a lot of things together for children. He loved children, and he did a lot of literary work. He wrote books also. But he died in October of – no, not October. I think it was October. But his theme for life, he would – that would be the name of his website. That would be on all of his materials. It, Be Still and Know was him, and it was all about Tommy – and love and in love with children. So when I got the opportunity to do, I asked Joyce, could I name the series Be Still and Know? Because that was his life, and it was all about if we stopped and took time out of our life, and we would know. I mean, we would feel, and we'd be able to see things that little children see. We think we're the smart people, but I used to watch my little brothers and sisters, and they could see the tiniest thing going on that we miss. And by taking time and stopping and having patience, and my mother used to make us stoop down to talk to my little brothers and sisters because she did not want us to feel superior to them, and she did not want them to feel inferior to us. So when Tommy and I used to talk, we had so much in common, even though he was much younger than me. We had so much in common. And I loved the way he lived. And then I was there. He died a sad thing because I flew there. I did not know he was going to leave me that night. And I was standing there by the bed and he took his last breath. And it just impacted, you know, things like this impact you for the rest of your life. So I wanted that to always be heard by children, that be still and know. And Joyce said, sure. So that's how why it's titled, Be Still and Know.
Right.
Okay. So a voice as soft as a honeybee's flutter. That's coming out when?
Joyce, you have that one.
The scheduled release is July 3rd, but I will tell you, I asked today because we're taking that book to a big event in Washington, D.C. We will have it in June, but it's available for order on July 3rd. It's scheduled release.
Oh, sounds good.
Yes,
so
it is a beautiful book. Mm-hmm. It can actually be seen online at this point. You know, anyone who wants to see the
at Amazon.
Beautiful. Yes, and just if you look up Jan's online and look at her site, you'll find that title among her 92 titles. But it will be available in stores and online. Very soon, and we're very excited about seeing the first in this series of three books come out.
Oh, it's three in the series? There are three books in the series?
Yeah.
That's correct.
What are the other two?
The second book is based on my life. Oh, you want to have... book is based on my life as a child. I was physically challenged. I attended a school for the physically challenged. I went to school first because I was born with this, they didn't even call it a disease, a challenge. I was born with a challenge, and I couldn't play with other kids. I never learned how to ride a bike or any of those things. I couldn't do skating and all that. So my brothers and sisters, I mean, this was a family of 14 children. So they were always zipping by me back and forth, and I spent my time on the porch, actually. I actually have a collection of works that I did about my life on the porch because I couldn't play with the other kids. I can watch them play, but I couldn't play like that. So but I wasn't ever angry because I was drawing and I was learning how to draw them, moving and standing and walking. And then after a while, it didn't matter because the kids would come to the porch and sit and watch me draw. So it was like a blessing.
Wow.
You details, but the story that Jan tells is so much better than the details I would give.
You're going to write a book about your life?
Well, we actually prepared it based on, I'm going to tell the story in the images, in the pictures. This one, the one that we're talking about that's released in July, I wrote and we used the Psalms. But the one that's coming out, we're using the Psalms and not telling my story in any other way but the pictures so that they will see it. And what I did was I used to fall. I would go and just fall. I had no idea, but I was in excruciating pain, but I couldn't express to adults what had happened to me. And then I would heal. I would fall and then be put to bed and then it would heal. And then they would take me to the doctors. They couldn't really figure out what was going on. And then, kept growing up. But, so this story is how I actually lost. When I was about 14 or 13, I fell really hard, and I dislocated my bones, and it was a horror. And I was sent to the hospitals over and over, and I was angry, angry inside. The thing that gave me joy was art. Always my, I didn't know why, but I always got this joy out of drawing my mother's babies. My mother had a baby every year, so I always had a model. So the little newborn baby couldn't run away. By the time the one ran away, Mama had another one there. So So that was the joy. That was the thing I always loved. But I became really angry because I, you know, was getting older and I wanted to do things with other kids. And I think I consider it that I had moved away from God because my father used to say I had a gift from God. So I'm like, what happened to this gift? You know, if I can't do anything and all that kind of stuff. So I became very angry. And one day a little girl came up on the porch. I put my pad down. I wasn't going to do anything. A little girl came up on the porch, a tiny one, and I loved looking at this little tiny people with little tiny arms and legs. I can't believe they can move. She came up on the porch, and she asked me to draw her. And I was so angry. Okay. I said, no, I don't draw anymore. And they loved me drawing them. They loved seeing themselves. And so when I looked at her little face, and she was so sad, I picked up the pad, and I never put it back down again. It was like, oh, that was my joy. Yeah, I felt it again.
So did you draw her?
Oh, yeah. I drew all my students. Even when I taught public school, junior high art for 10 years, every student that was ever in my class always had a drawing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I used to go to Larabita Sanitarium in Chicago. I used to draw the children who had been, you know, hurt or burned or maimed, and they thought they were ugly. Then I would draw them, and then they could see. And is that me? It looks
so funny.
Wow. And they can see the beauty that you know, that burn wasn't you. This is what you look like. That burn is something that's a burn, but it's not you. So I remembered how the children felt when they see themselves. So, I mean, it's a gift to me.
That really is a gift, yes. Are you like one of those people when you go to these affairs and they have this person out there drawing? No, because I think that's just a caricature, right?
Well, no, some people did them as characters. I grew up drawing them as realistic drawings. The other people did caricatures, but I used to do them as realistic drawings. And there's people in Chicago who have, like, drawings. They're like 50 because their mother would bring them to me every year, or if we were in a fair, like you said, art fairs or things like that, I would draw them. And it was, I think the first one I used to draw, they were like $5. By the time I was drawing it in New York at the Plaza, in front of the Plaza, my drawings were going for $500. You see?
Oh, wow. Like,
it depends on
where
you are, who you are, or what happened.
Right.
People at the Plaza, yeah. So, but it doesn't matter because it's the joy of seeing the person look at themselves and see how beautiful they are. Because some people don't see themselves.
They don't actually
know how beautiful they are. And my students, it really made them happy when they would see, you know, oh, I look like that? Of course. You know it.
So are you able to draw yourself? Is that something you can do?
Well, we have to. In college, everybody had to do a self-portrait. Yeah, I did one.
How did you do that? You're looking in the mirror, right?
Yeah, we had to use mirrors.
Okay.
And they make you do it. I mean, there are some people that, like, love doing themselves. So it wasn't like a challenge. But, we used the mirror, and then we would draw ourselves. And we actually had a class one time that I really thought was really strange, but later I thought it was wonderful. We had to draw ourselves without a mirror. We had to draw the way we saw ourselves in our head.
Wow. Using your imagination. Do you still have that one?
I don't know. I have an Aunt Emma who has a drawing that I did when I was 10. So I don't know. That's so, you know, people keep things or they don't. But I love doing those things with children because whatever they had us do, I would lend it to the children, no matter how old they were. Because the junior high kids were just like, you know, like the little first graders, the same kind of feelings. Because it's more about, not so much about technical skills as about your heart, you know, and how.
Sounds like fun.
The technical skills. Yeah. So this book is about Junior. My brother, there were four girls and he was stuck in between them. So there were 8 girls and 6 boys in the family. The girls were the oldest, so were kind of top heavy. And so my brother was stuck between 4 girls, and he was right in the middle. And so my father would always defend him and always say, poor Junior. Oh, he's the socialist. Yeah. Poor Junior, he was stuck between all these girls. But anyway, he was a hoot. He used to make us laugh, and he was really funny, and he was kind of tiny. So he saw himself as our protector, even though he's tiny. We actually could have beat him up. But he didn't let anybody bother his sisters. But he was naughty. He was known in the neighborhood as the naughtiest little preacher's son, because my father was a preacher. So here's his namesake was this little naughty boy. Everybody thought was naughty. And he was funny, so he was always entertaining us. And one of the things he loved to entertain us with was the Bible, because our family was so religious, and you couldn't do anything that was considered blasphemy or stuff like that. My brother Junior loved doing things that challenged, but my father didn't care because he believed in his son, because he protected him and all that. So this story is about one day when my brother was missing all day, nobody could find him. And he, when they did find him, he was wet. His pants were wet, and he was sick. My father asked him where he had been, and we're all laughing because we know Junior is going to come up with a great story that's going to make us laugh and fool the adults. So he said this time that he was with God, and we were laughing because we know Junior probably wasn't with God. of all the places, he probably wasn't there, but my daddy right away believed him. And eventually everybody on the street did.
Oh, wow.
He told his story. Yeah. He must have been about 8 or 9. And then when he told his story, he was he even convinced us that we knew him. We like got him in the room and said, okay, tell us, come clean. Where were you? And he said the same thing. I was with God. So he
never changed his story.
He died in October of 2016. He had gone. He was a father of 4. He had gone to Vietnam. He never took that story back. Because
wow.
I truly believe he did. He needed to. He was such a bad little boy.
Did he change after that?
Oh, yeah.
Did his behavior change?
His behavior changed. He was still funny and fun, but he was more spiritual. He was more spiritual.
Wouldn't that be interesting if you really knew what happened to him?
Well, we called him. We cornered him. We were his big sister. And he always told us the truth. He was always so funny because he liked, messing with the adults. But he would say things like to Daddy, how do you know that? How do you know there was a whale? And because he loved those Bible stories, but he would like the challenge. And Daddy would take the time for his son. We were always saying how spoiled he was.
Yeah, but you have other brothers too.
I'm sorry.
Okay, what is your third one?
You know what? Because it's a proposal yet, I'm still waiting for what you can you handle that, Joyce? With the third book, because it's based on other children.
Content development in any age group is based on a lot of things, not only the concept that the author, in this case the author and illustrator have, but also based upon how the readers react to other books that are out there. So Jan's first two books, we have firmly in place, the one that will release in July and the second book that she's working on, which is titled You See Me, God. I am your child. And Jan has already done a beautiful job of sharing her story and what that book means. The third book has what we call a tentative or a working title, and it's called We Sing New Songs. It's based, there's inspiration in it from Psalm 100, and that's a familiar psalm about it's a serving and worshiping God and with joy. And that book is yet to, I forgot to say that the You See Me God, I Am Your Child, Jan's story, that book releases in January 2020. So the third book is quite a ways off. And where our ministry, our publishing house, we do a great deal of research and get feedback from the audience. So we're going to get a lot of feedback on the first two books and try to incorporate some of that into the third book to really give the parents and others who will purchase these books for their kids an opportunity to share with us what they're looking for. But the bottom line of that book is groups of children who are loving God and loving their neighbor with their gifts. So, but that's a little bit further out, but we're looking forward to that in 2021. So but the entirety of the series, the Be Still and Know series, focuses on the stories out of Jan's childhood and her growing up experiences and the inspiration that comes from the psalms that we selected to go with the book.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, we're going to take a break right here, and I'm going to mention to my listeners again that if you would like to say something to my guests, you may do so when we come back. Just press the 1 on your keypad, and you will be streaming live with Dr. Gilchrist and Joyce. Right now, we're going to take a break. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
This is Terry from Texas, and I love listening to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
Lions Clubs International is a service or membership organization of over 1.7 million members worldwide. It was founded in 1916 in Illinois. Much of the focus of the Lions Club's work as a service club organization is to raise money for worthy causes as first responders. The Lions Club motto is "We Serve." Local Lions Club programs include sight conservation, hearing and speech conservation, diabetes awareness, youth outreach, international relations, environmental issues, and many other programs. The Lions acronym also stands for Liberty, Intelligence, Our Nation's Safety. For more information, contact us at lionsclubs.org.
My name is Sheila White. I am the president and co-founder of Her Cries Are Heard, an organization that focuses on preventing violence against females. One in three women have been victims of physical abuse or violence by an intimate partner or non-partner within their lifetime. 94% of women killed by men were murdered by someone they knew. Violence can affect a woman's physical and mental health and also negatively affect her children. In 1991, my sister was murdered by her husband. And in 2013, my niece was murdered by a man who followed her home from a party. Being a victim of violence is devastating to the victim and the victim's family. Help us to help you. Help us to prevent this from happening to you or someone you love. Please look at our website, www.hercriesareheard.org, for the prevention tools and referrals to help save lives.
Do you know a youth in need of a place to live? Have you always wanted to make a difference in the city of Detroit, but not known how? Answer to both of these questions is Covenant House, Michigan. Covenant House is a youth homeless shelter serving 18 to 24-year-olds in the city of Detroit with education, resources, job preparation, and so much more. If you'd like to learn more about these programs, please call 313-463-2000 or look us up on the web at www.covenanthousemi.org.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
Magnify his name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709 or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify his name.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Hello, and we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Tonight, we've been chatting with Jan and Joyce. How about that? J and J. So we're going to do now, what we're going to do is we're going to ask for their final thoughts. We're almost ready to close it down. So I will give you first choice, Miss Joyce.
Be able to work with Jan Spivey-Gilchrist on the books that matter to her, and we believe they matter to the children that she loves, children who need to see their images, and Jan uses her skill to provide imagery of all children, and especially, I will say, of African-American children as positive images with Junior and his father in A Voice as Soft as a Honeybee's Flutter, and positive images of that family in this beautiful story, really about Junior hearing God. And I believe kids can hear God, and they can learn from the Bible. And the second book, You See Me, God, I Am Your Child, Jan has expressed beautifully how she wrestled with having a physical challenge. And kids have needs, and they wrestle with needs. And that beautiful story is very uplifting about how this child was encouraged to know that God saw her and had gifted her. And that's Jan Spivey-Gilchrist, and she's had this continues to have a vibrant life that is a blessing to her, but it's also a blessing to those who see her books. So I'm just delighted to be involved with Jan. I do think it is a match made in heaven. We're excited about the books, the first one releasing in June. But I'm not only excited about the books that Our Daily Bread Ministries is publishing, I'm excited for Jan, and I'm excited for her being able to have the opportunity at this point in her career as a world-renowned artist to do books that are very close to her heart. And so, again, A Voice as Soft as a Honeybee Sweater will be coming out in July 3rd. And I will continue to be delighted to see those images in the hands of children and see how they are encouraged. Just I'm on the journey with her and delighted to be doing so. So thanks, Jenny, for having me on with Jan. I enjoyed it.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate you coming on. And you're welcome any other time. We're here every Friday evening at 8. So you're welcome.
We'll look forward to talking with you again and interacting
with maybe when the book comes out,
we can
talk. How about that? Okay.
Yes. But please feel free, go look at it online and encourage your listeners to look at Jan Spider Gilchrist's work online. They will be.
I've seen it. I've also gone to Amazon and I've gotten a peek at it.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Jenny, for including me.
Oh, no problem at all. Okay, Dr. Gilchrist, you're on.
You gave me an assignment.
You are an educator, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Once an educator, always an educator. But I did want to say really quickly, not as a commercial, but there's a documentary on my life that's being produced. It'll release in end of July. Also, it's coming from Ubuntu Films, and I will tell you about that.
Yeah.
At a later date.
Let me know.
Okay. I certainly will. But thank you for having us on, and Joyce, thank you so much. This is a wonderful editor who has been very nurturing and encouraging, as you can see. It's hard to step out after talking about it.
Thank you for inviting her. I like that. I really enjoyed her. We're talking, we're speaking as if she's not listening.
I'm listening. You know, I always Jen knows exactly what I would say. I always gotta have to give God the credit for what's good, because that's just the truth for me. And so I'm really thankful to God for Jan and for the work that we're doing together.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and I'm thankful for knowing you both now. I think that's kind of cool. And like I said, my son tells me all the time, Ma, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. So,
I love that.
I'm glad I met you two ladies, because I know I'm not in the wrong room now. Sound like a song. Okay. Okay, I'm not gonna interrupt you anymore.
Oh, no. I'm just listening. I think it's been really fabulous. And I would just like to ask the moms to hug a baby with a book. You know, set them on your lap, hug them with a book. They'll that love for literature will pass for that love for their mother and father. So parents, I grew up watching my father reading. That was so important. I would just watch him reading. So I wanted to read. I wanted to know how he found those stories in those Bibles, because he would tell those stories on Sunday morning, and they were beautiful, and they would make images in my head, and I could see them on the ceiling. And so I wanted to find them, and I wanted to find them in a book, because that's where Daddy got them, the Bible.
Oh, okay. Now, was your dad, was he talented in drawing as well?
My father used to sit with us and draw horses. He was from Mississippi, and he was kind of a cowboy. And so he loved the horses, and he could draw them moving and everything. And I have a brother, Frank Spivey, who draws like my father. And he served 30 years in the service. So he his art came through. He drew Buffalo Soldiers and Army people and Bible story. He paints those. But he's Frank Spivey and he's in Georgia. So he looks like my father. So they have the same gifts.
None of the boys became ministers?
No ministers.
Okay.
No ministers. Mm-hmm.
Well, listen,
hey, that word minister means to serve. And from the family members I've met, they all serve. You know, it's a formal term for people who are heads of this and that, and that's correct. But the root of that is to serve. And Jan serves, and the siblings that I've met, they serve each other. So I think that
we're all supposed to be servants.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're serving, Jenny.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
Yes, very much.
I'm trying. But I did want to say thank you both. You don't know how much I appreciate you coming and stepping in, because my other guest had an emergency and you guys just stepped right on in and just took it over, and I really appreciate that. I really do. And I appreciate all my listeners who called and didn't say anything, but that's okay. You call continuously, and I love you for that. I love you for supporting me. And I thank all of you that are listening on your tablets and your iPads and whatever computers. So I appreciate all of you and for enjoying the show. And I'd like to leave you with this. Not all storms come to disrupt your life. Some come to clear your path. And we have to remember that. So with that, I'll say enjoy the remainder of your weekend. And I'll see you back here next Friday on the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Thank you and good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.